support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, ending the 2015 season and thanking customers for supporting locally grown flowers. More information at 772-3464. The Flower Farm, looking forward to next year's garden delights.
Every time I go out and pick me a bit, homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love.
Welcome to KFSK's In the Garden. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson, and with me on the line from Juneau, Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. Welcome, Ed.
Good afternoon, Mindy.
I can hear you munching on what must be a tomato.
Oh, still are some, yeah, these are sun gold tomatoes, just terrific out of the greenhouse. I mean, the plants look pretty ugly. They're drying out. I haven't watered them in weeks. But they are still, those tomatoes are still trying to ripen, and they are still very tasty, certainly tastier than anything we can buy in the store. So we should have tomatoes for another couple of weeks yet. Easily that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And my wife took some down to California with her on Tuesday. So I guess that's, you know, tomatoes, potatoes, garlic, and some kale and some Swiss chard down to our son's family. So, you know, we have Alaska produce going to California. That's the right direction.
That is. I just pulled up some carrots the other day, and they look good out of my garden. I'm going to leave them in there just for a little bit longer, and they're delicious.
Oh, same thing here. I mean, I'm just kind of pulling carrots as we need them, and they will stay there. I mean, I'm finding there are a few cracked ones, but that's okay. Those are the ones that we cut up for, you toss into soup and stew.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, as long as the ground isn't frozen, that can, you know, those, I've got beets down there, which are terrific also, and the parsnips may likely stay there all winter long. But the others, they'll stay until we start getting the ground freezing a little bit on the top, and then they have to come out of the ground.
Okay. Sharon Sprague was telling me when she was here, you were over in Ireland, she puts her tomatoes in the freezer whole, and then she can pull them out and make tomato sauce and things like that with them. Tomatoes.
I did here a little something different. I took a bunch of these cherry tomatoes and some larger ones. I had a few paste tomatoes here, too. Sliced them in half and put them in my food dryer, dehydrator, and sprinkled them with some fresh rosemary, thyme, and oregano. I mean, just the smell of these drying. It smelled
like pizza. Intense.
It was incredible. And then so the flavor now since then, some of them I've just left them dry, and some I packed into some of the warmed up olive oil with garlic and for future uses for pasta making and other assorted stuff. And I mean, they are so tasty already, and will just get better as the flavors blend too. So really easy. Normally the tomatoes, especially when you're drying cherry tomatoes, you get, they aren't very big when you're all done, of course, not like the big ones you get in the store, but still they really do dry nicely, quickly, and flavor, you know, just chock full of flavor.
I want to remind folks that there's two reasons you can call into the radio station now. You can call in and ask Ed a question about gardening or garden-related issues, or you can call in and donate your support to the radio station because it is membership week here at KFSK. So we're looking for support from the community to help with our programming and everything we do here at KFSK. We need listener support for that. And our phone number is 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. You can also donate online at kfsk.org or our Facebook page, or you can just stop on in. And if you have a gardening question, you can ask it live right here on the air in this room with me. So,
and hopefully they bring along a bucket of money with them at the same time.
That would be nice, but not necessary. But we would love to have the more community support this week. So besides,
I mean, what kind of the thing I'd like to do is I hope to help people dream. You know, at this time of year, well, especially with the interesting summer we've had, which is to say wet and wetter and then really wet. We're dreaming about, gardeners at least, are dreaming about next year. certainly, and thinking next year is going to be better. Next year is going to be drier. Of course, it started out really dry in May, but that changed. But still, we are a pretty optimistic bunch. So if we do our garden cleanup now and greenhouse cleanup now, so then we are more ready for next spring. Get the stuff, get the old dead produce out of there, finish it up, compost it, at least some of it, and get those garden beds, maybe compost mixed in or fertilizer mixed in and then covered with some plastic, then we'll be able to start gardening just that much sooner next spring.
Okay.
And the other thing I like to do, too, of course, is planning. Certainly, it's a little early. I'm not ordering seeds yet for next spring. But we do at least territorial seeds. And there's a couple other companies, too, will send are now sending out fall catalogs. And so you can kind of get a jump on it. But certainly going back through also, hopefully you or the gardeners in Petersburg and elsewhere are keeping some sort of records about what did well, what didn't do well, you know, how, and of course records on where stuff was planted so we can do our crop rotation too.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a great time for planning. You know, it's a not very nice day out there, although it's not windy here yet. The hurricane hasn't hit yet, but it's forecast too. So it may very well be a Harbor Day today. And although I'm going to get back out there and do some, I've got some fish scraps to bury in one of these beds that I'm still planting garlic in. So that'll make them grow all the better next year.
You mentioned journal. We have a journal at our house in our garden shed, and it is nice. We kind of use it like over at the school garden. You know, anytime anyone goes into the garden and does anything, then they just add something to the journal. This is what I did. This is what I planted. I harvested some carrots, and they looked pretty good, and they were tasty. And it's just, it's also nice to look back on, you know, and it, what the temperature is and if it's sunny or rainy.
Right. I do all of that. Usually I try to write down the firsts, you know, the first tomato flower or the first harvest of spinach. Or the first ripe tomato, as far as that goes, or cucumber and other assorted stuff, too. So you kind of get an idea and mention, ideally, you keep track of varieties so that hopefully you know that this variety is particularly good in this wet summer, you know, produced really well for us, minimal diseases, nice shapely, whether it be nice carrots or really good, you know, good leafy greens, whatever it happens to be. Or maybe you've got a particular kind of lettuce that seemed to hold up better to the rain or something like that. So if we can keep track of that, the worst thing is, to me, is, you know, you go through your records and say, oh, okay, I want to order some more of these, only to find out that they've been discontinued. I mean, that's frustrating when you have this variety you may have been growing for years and years, and suddenly it's no longer available, so now you got to start your testing all over again and try some new varieties.
Yeah, yep. That's true. What else should we be doing to clean up our garden for the winter?
The main thing right now is getting rid of the old dead stalks and stems, and whether that be from flowers or vegetables or any of that sort of thing. And Some of it can go into a compost pile with seaweed, and if you're lucky enough to have chicken manure like you do, or if there's goats or rabbits or horses, whatever kind of manure you may have, to mix it all in with that. And, of course, cover the pile, cover the compost bin or whatever you're composting in so that it doesn't get excessively wet. Otherwise, it just turns into this mucky, wet mess. But you don't want to be composting potato vines and any of the cabbage family crops, at least their roots. You know, tops, leaves, old flowers, spent flowers, those can go in there.
Okay.
But the reason you don't want all the roots of the cabbage family is good old cabbage root maggots, which, assuming that most of us are not getting a hot compost pile, unless we make that perfect mixture of straw and seaweed and manure and all that sort of thing, those critters won't be killed. So we want to send those roots off to the dump, or if you've got a burn pile that you can burn them on, that part's great. And same thing with potato vines. Again, we're trying to avoid diseases that may be spread by the plants into our next year's garden. So we're constantly working to keep our garden clean, try not to get it infested with new diseases. And, of course, we're also cleaning this stuff up so that we aren't providing all this lovely slug habitat. I think, you know, at depending on what kind of a winter we have again, if it's going to be a mild winter, even though it started out slow last spring, the slugs have certainly come on strong, and they're out there. So using slug bait or using, you know, if you're trapping slugs or setting out flat pieces of boards or something like that out in the garden and then go along and come back, lift them up, and shoot them with your ammonia spray or otherwise, you know, the slug wars continue.
Right, right. I have these beautiful snow mounts by Rhea. They're the kind that have the, you know, the longer branch that comes down with all the white flowers on it.
Yes.
Well, some of them are long, and some of them have been eaten by the deer. But
okay.
So those that are long, I'm not going to trim those off, right? I'm leaving those.
Okay.
The new ones.
You mean for more deer food for later?
Right, more deer food. But I want them to flower. I find that they don't flower like I want them to. Is that because the deer are eating them in the fall, and so those aren't going to flower next year? The ones that
you may see. Well, you'll see considerable variation probably. If the deer leave the really long ones behind, those are likely to have a lot more flowers on them.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the variety of spireas, and this applies to other shrubs too, some shrubs flower on new growth. So you can prune many of the, magic carpet spireas are one, and some of the others, gold mound,
right.
Gold flame. Those are some that you can prune back after, ideally, after flowering, which, well, now, you know, you can cut off those old flower clusters, and then the new growth comes out in the spring and then gives you flowers. Now, it's a mixed bag with the snow mound or bridal veil spirea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another common one around southeast, very hardy, works great, but they do some of both. So those big long stems that gave flowers then put out little side shoots off the sides of the long stems, which will have more flowers next year. So if you do a cutback or, you know, the deer eat them off, you know, there may be some of those short shoots still left on there. Hopefully there are, to give you flowers. But then you won't get as many of the, you know, new shoots also coming out. So you almost have to look up each individual bush or variety of shrub to see what they bloom on, to see what they'll do. For example, the rhododendrons and lilacs have all their flower buds on them right now. So, I mean, you look at your shrub or your big bush, and you can see the fat buds that will have flowers next year. If the deer eat them off, or if you happen to prune them off, well, then you're out of luck for next year, because they will take them another year to grow new growth and then have flower buds set next year.
Okay.
So that you just got to kind of plan for, you know, what kind of shrubs do you have and what are they going to do for you. Rugosa roses are a good example. So those, again, are kind of a mixed bag. So new growth will usually have new growth that comes up from the ground. We'll usually have a few flowers out at the tip, but then the branches that grew this year will normally put out side branches and will give you more flowers next year. And it's very similar, really, to raspberries in that, you know, this year's new growth will put on branches and flower buds and fruit next year for you, too.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a little worried about the some of the bushes that the deer have been eating, but I'm going to try to keep them away so that they're not eating any more.
Well, fencing, I mean, I realize you may not want to have, you know, as much fencing maybe along the front edges, but again, you know, there's all that good gill netting and seine webbing that's available down on the docks at this time of year, I'm sure. And it's easy enough to string, although the problem sometimes with gill netting is you may catch a deer, one may get tangled up, and small birds also can get tangled up in them. But you know, fencing really is the answer to keep the critters out. Unless, of course, I don't know if you're using the spray, some of the spray repellents, and how, you know, how effective they are. Depends on how hungry the deer are, pretty much.
Yeah, this time of the year, they're not as effective. Okay, so also some bulb planting and garlic planting. Still doing that?
Yes, lots of that. And again, I'm covering up the beds or the areas if I can with plastic. If I've got large enough areas, certainly for the big boxes of garlic that I've been planting, you know, big 4x16 or 18-foot beds are getting lots of garlic planted, and then I'm promptly covering them up so that they don't drown over our, depending on how many, you know, inches, tens of inches, how many inches are we going to have until springtime when they are sprouting again? So, but drainage. You know, we keep looking at our yard and seeing, do we need to do more drainage? Do we need to improve the soil so that it does drain better? All of that is going to make a big difference for much of our gardening success next year.
Okay. And then also a time to clean up the pots that were, you know, Rodney took everything off of our porch last weekend, which was nice, and clean those up and wash them with some soapy water.
Sure. And then the other thing, you know, leads from there into cleaning up greenhouses too.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've given up on your tomatoes, ripped them out, I took my cucumbers out already. And again, doing that cleanup, get all of that old potentially fungus-infested leaves and stems out of the greenhouse. And if you can do a cleanup, be very careful. Don't use bleach in there because it's not a safe thing to be using, you know, for a cleanup. But you might even look up a greenhouse cleaning solution or something like that. Baking soda and water, or baking soda and soap and water works well. But, you know, breathing bleach fumes can be deadly. So don't mess with that stuff.
Okay. I want to remind folks they can call in, ask Ed a question here before we let him go and move on to music with Carrie Case this afternoon. You can call in and ask Ed a question at 772-3808 or 888-772-3808. And you can also call in.
One more thing that people may want to be doing this, maybe think about doing this fall, is taking cuttings of some of their favorite plants, whether you're going to be overwintering some of these, but some of this might be, or getting cuttings, and now I'm talking about woody shrubs, such as, you know, if you've got a neighbor who's got a really brilliantly colored, fall color leaves on dogwoods, you know, the red twig dogwoods, or some of the other shrubby stuff that can be fairly easily rooted, you know, you can take cuttings now and do a little dip into rooting hormone and then plant them in a sheltered spot and preferably away from the deer. And this might even include, you know, you can put them into a corner of a garden bed or even into some large pots that are filled with potting soil. You can take kiwi cuttings. I mean, the hardy kiwis can be grown from rooting cuttings. Same thing with currants and gooseberries and that sort of thing can be grown. So if you want to actually propagate a bunch more of some variety of some of the shrubs, at least, lilacs are another one that are not that difficult to root new plants from cuttings. So you take usually about an 8-inch to a 12-inch long cuttings, and again, dip their lower couple of inches into rooting hormone, and then put them into pots or in the ground, and you'll be surprised at how many of them are likely to strike roots over the winter and take off and grow next spring.
And where do you put them, where do you store those in the winter? Down in the basement or under the porch or in the house?
No, in the ground. I mean,
in the ground.
Like I said, either in, say if you've got a propagating bed, that can work well. So, you know, you line them out, and you can plant them, I mean, take a bunch of them. You know, you can have 10 cuttings in a bunch, dip the whole bunch into some rooting hormone powder, and then just put that into, you know, dig a little hole in the bed or in the box, and just bury them in there.
Okay.
And they will root over the winter. So, and otherwise, again, you can do this in, you know, get a 2-gallon or 3-gallon pot and fill it with potting soil and do the same thing. And again, put it in a sheltered spot. Might be up against the house or against the side of the garage. underneath the trees. You can, if you want, you can pile mulch around it or pile leaves or something like that around it so that they slowly freeze-thaw through this coming winter. And then, of course, that leads into looking ahead to if you're going to want to use spruce boughs or hemlock boughs and locate a source for those that you might use to help protect your bulbs and your perennials out there in the garden, so to keep them cooler longer, so they don't sprout too soon, so they don't sprout in December or January when we get our usual midwinter thaw.
Okay. Looks like we have a caller here real quick with a question. Let me transfer the caller over.
Hi.
Hi, caller.
So I have a couple of questions. The first one is about my cabbage that I grew this year. I've got excess of it, and I'm going to make some sauerkraut. But the rest of it, I was wondering, can I put it under the house like I did my potatoes last year in boxes with a little bit of air circulation, and they'll last for a while? How long?
You can. That's one way of doing it. Take off some of the outer leaves. Try to get all the slugs out of there.
Oh,
unfortunately,
yeah.
Slugs really like that if you put them underneath the house and then they just eat away inside your cabbages while you're sleeping.
Mm.
Another thing you can do, though, you can pull the whole plant out, roots and all, and you can actually put them in a pot, you know, and then just. And then in that same condition, you know, and colder is better, down to near freezing at least. And then just come along, you know, maybe once a month or a little more, and give them a little bit of water. So that way they're still, because they are alive. And then you can, and of course they should end up getting more blanched down there. So they're paler colored, but should be nice and tender. You know, so that's certainly a way of storing them down there. And that's a good point. You can do the same thing. You can dig up if people are growing leeks. That's another one they can do that with. Dig up the whole leeks with the roots and put them into tubs or buckets with holes in the bottom of them in some potting soil or even just damp sand. You know, same thing for the cabbage. Just damp sand if you've got it. And just make sure that it stays damp through the winter. And then you just pull them out as you need to use them.
Oh, okay, that's a good idea. My other question is my strawberry plants. They were doing fabulously up until about 3 weeks ago, and then the deer came by and cropped them right off. Now, what do you think they're going to do next spring? Should I go ahead and cover them like I usually do with seaweed and stuff and hope for the best, or are they not going to come up anymore?
They should still come back. I mean, the strawberry plants do store some nutrients in their roots. Yeah, around here they can be somewhat evergreen at least. So I suspect they should come back pretty well in the spring. And again, that might be just one more opportunity for you to go in there. And if there's other weeds, buttercups particularly, I'm thinking about in there, that you could clean that out. And then spread a thin layer of seaweed in there. Which makes good fertilizer for the strawberries. Or even, you know, you could even get, if you have access to some sand, actually put a little bit of sand with the seaweed too, which will also kind of help in combating the slugs.
Okay. That's a good idea too. Well, thank you, Ed. I sure enjoy this program. Thank you, Mindy.
Yep. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye, Ed.
Bye-bye. Okay, Ed, it looks like our time has come to a close. Thank you so much for joining us and all of the volunteering that you do for In the Garden all these years. We'll be sending you KFSK's newest T-shirt, which I know you're going to love.
All right.
So thanks again, and we'll be talking next week on In the Garden about what to do maybe with some of our plants that we're going to overwinter.
Right, and hopefully we'll see if the hurricane... But it's as much as they said it might or not.
Okay, yeah, we'll report back. Thanks, Ed.
All right, thanks, Mindy.
Support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm, ending the 2015 season and thanking customers for supporting locally grown flowers. More information at 772-3464. The Flower Farm, looking forward to next year's Garden Delights. Coming up next on KFSK, we have High Country Music with Carrie Case, and it looks like Iris is here too. We also have some live music, a couple of tunes coming from Joseph Quitzlin before 4 o'clock. And there's a couple people we want to thank here. Carolina McLuff, who happens to be the exchange student from Brazil. Thanks for calling in and supporting the public radio station. She likes the after-school programs and the international news. And thanks to Carrie and Ben for renewing your membership and supporting the radio station. They like, wait, wait, don't tell me. It's only a game in ebb tide. It's a big, big family of supporters here. Also, Lyle and Carol Bennett, thank you for renewing your membership. They pretty much like everything, and they especially like In the Garden. Also, Dave and Nancy Berg, thank you. And they like Steve Barry and Al Dwyer, All Things Considered, and Le Show, also The Morning Joke. That is a good one, The Morning Joke. Coming up next, High Country Music with Carrie Case. Don't forget to call in, support your public radio station, KFSK, 772-3808, or online at kfsk.org. We're up to $46,000. We're trying to raise $60,000 this week. We're well on our way. And thank you to everyone so far who has called in.
What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes?